This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Hezril and Kelvin. And we're now going to kick off with Popet Popet Parliament, where we run through highlights from the Dewan Rakyat.
Before we go do that, though, it's worth mentioning that today more MPs were moved to the main gallery of the Dewan Rakyat from the surrounding galleries. Deputy Speaker Dato' Sri Azalina Othman Said noted that plastic barriers have been set up between MPs to reduce the risk of infection. And by next week, all MPs are expected to sit in the main gallery once more barriers are set up.
That's right. On to today's business. The first issue raised was on internet coverage. Padang Serai MP M. Karupaya posed a supplementary question on the number of areas in the country that still lack internet access. In response, Deputy Communications and Multimedia Minister Dato' Zahidi Zainal Abidin said that the figure is less than 20%, and also why internet access remains an issue.
Untuk pengetahuan yang berhormat, kita lihat tidak sampai 20% kawasan yang berstatus merah untuk kawasan luar bandar. Tetapi walau bagaimanapun, kita lihat di sini untuk pengetahuan yang berhormat, terdapat kawasan-kawasan di mana terdapat vandalism dan sebagainya. Contohnya, gentian optik yang dikorek ataupun copper. Kawasan tu selalunya dulu ni ada liputan, tetapi tiba-tiba liputan hilang. Maka ini terdapat pihak-pihak tertentu yang telah korek gentian optik tersebut ataupun tembaga, maka mereka mencuri. Dan ataupun genset, ataupun setengah menara-menara kita gunakan genset. Kita gunakan genset dan apabila genset ini untuk tenaga bekalan, tenaga elektrik dan sebagainya, dicuri. Tiba-tiba tak ada lain. Ini perkara-perkara yang masih kita atasi selain daripada kita mengatasi kawasan-kawasan yang liputan merah tadi tersebut. Terima kasih.
That was Deputy Communications and Multimedia Minister Dato' Zahidi Zainal Abidin.
Next up, Minister of Agriculture and Food Industries Dato' Sri Dr. Ronald Kiandi touched on the government's initiatives to achieve food security. This was in response to a question by Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fazil. Here's a snippet of that exchange.
Kita sedar dalam keadaan pandemik yang melanda sekarang ni, kesan telah perancangan terutama dalam isu keselamatan makanan pasti terjejas atau terkesan. Pada 31 hari bulan Mac yang lalu, Yang Berhormat Paguh telah mengumumkan peruntukan sebanyak RM1 bilion untuk tujuan mengatasi masalah keselamatan makanan. Bolehkah Yang Berhormat Menteri jelaskan bagaimana peruntukan tersebut digunakan memandangkan ia berkait dengan isu keselamatan makanan?
Dalam pengumuman dan penjana, pendekatan utama yang telah dilakarkan oleh kerajaan iaitu pinjaman peruntukan sebanyak RM350 juta di bawah Agrobank untuk skim mikrokredit. Kedua, peruntukan di bawah labor mobility pekerja. Dan ketiga adalah peruntukan di bawah community. Community iaitu pertanian secara berkebun dan secara berkomuniti. Dan peruntukan di bawah komuniti adalah sebanyak RM10 juta dan sedang rancak dijalankan pada ketika ini. RM350 juta diuntukkan untuk skrim mikrokredit pinjaman di bawah Agrobank. Dan ketiga, mobility itu sebanyak 40 juta diuntukkan. Jadi diharapkan agar peruntukan-peruntukan ini akan dapat membantu untuk pengeluaran makanan untuk memastikan bahawa security makanan negara terjamin.
You just heard from Minister of Agriculture and Food Industries Dato' Sri Dr. Ronald Kiandi.
After that, Kota Samarahan MP Rubia Wang asked how the government is addressing the deaths of children who have been left behind in vehicles. This is in light of 6 cases that were reported since 2018. And here's what Deputy Women, Family and Community Development Minister Dato' Siti Zailah Muhammad Yusof had to say.
Kementerian telah mengambil langkah-langkah pencegahan, edukasi dan intervensi seperti berikut, iaitu yang pertama melalui Seksyen 31 Akta Kanak-Kanak 2001 mengenai penganiayaan, pengabaian dan pembuangan dan pendedahan kanak-kanak telah dipinda pada tahun 2016 dengan memasukkan perkataan atau bertindak secara cuai dan juga meningkatkan tempoh maksima hukum penjara kepada daripada 10 tahun kepada 20 tahun atau denda daripada RM20,000 kepada RM50,000 atau kedua-duanya dan perintah khidmat masyarakat sebagai hukum mandatory. Begitu juga berkaitan dengan intervensi, selain daripada hukum daripada hukuman perundangan, kita juga menyediakan menghulurkan perkhidmatan kaunseling kepada ibu bapa. Selain daripada itu juga, ibu bapa dan penjaga serta kanak-kanak hendaklah bertanggungjawab dan sentiasa terpeka dengan risiko keselamatan anak-anak. Contohnya yang tersedak susu, pemakaian kasit, risiko tertinggal dalam kereta dan sebagainya.
That was Deputy Women, Family and Community Development Minister Datuk Siti Zailah Mohamed Yusof.
Now, separately, a question on child pornography had come up. Patukawan MP Kasturi Pato wanted to know whether the government has allocated funds to screen for potential sex offenders to tackle the issue and whether the technology exists to do so. Here's the response by Deputy Communications and Multimedia Minister Datuk Zahidi Zainal Abidin.
Kita lihat di sini dari segi teknologi yang kita nak gunakan ianya memerlukan peruntukan kewangan dan bajet daripada Kementerian Kewangan. Kita lihat di kebanyakan negara mereka menggunakan teknologi di mana kalau kita scan, kita masuk ke airport, kita scan, masuk scan tu, handphone scan tu kita dah tahu dah. Scan tu dah tunjukkan bahawa mereka ni ada pornografi atau pedofilia ataupun bahan lucah kanak-kanak dalam handphone. Dah boleh tangkap lah. Tapi di Malaysia ni kita belum ada lagi kerana kita tidak ada bajet lagi untuk memohon kebenaran tersebut. Tetapi jika kerajaan membenarkan, maka kita ada fund, USB fund yang kita peruntukkan untuk internet luar bandar saja. Tapi kalau kita boleh gunakan duit tu, maka diberi kebenaran, maka kita boleh gunakan wang tersebut untuk kita gunakan, untuk kita beli alat-alat teknologi yang canggih dan sebagainya. Ini adalah beruntung pada kerajaan dan Kementerian Kewangan lah untuk kita gunakan peruntukan tersebut.
That was Deputy Communications and Multimedia Minister Dato' Zahidi Zainal Abidin.
The GST also came up. Deputy Finance Minister Mohamed Shahar Abdullah said that GST refunds are expected to be made by year-end, after which Kubang Pasu MP Dato' Amiruddin Hamzah said that they should be carried out immediately as companies need cash flow at this difficult time. Here's the Deputy Minister's response.
Sebagaimana Yang Berhormat Kubang Pasu sudah maklum, bahawasanya memang Kementerian Kewangan tidak akan menangguhkan dan mempercepatkan proses pembayaran balik GST seperti mana hasrat Yang Berhormat tadi untuk melihat aliran tunai syarikat-syarikat dalam keadaan pemulihan ini. Kita akui memang kita sedang mempertingkatkan proses menggerakkan semua kaki tangan kita untuk membuat proses aduitan.
So that discussion didn't quite end there. Pontian MP Dato' Sri Ahmad Maslan then asked whether the Finance Ministry will issue a statement to refute allegations that the former Barisan National Government had stolen GST funds. This is what the Deputy Minister had to say.
Adakah Kementerian ingin membuat kenyataan Menteri, ministerial statement di Dewan Rakyat ini untuk menafikan tuduhan YB Bagan yang sedang bercakap dengan YB Port Dickson sekarang, mengenai tuduhan bahawa 19.4 bilion wang GST refund ini telah dirompak oleh kerajaan dahulu.
Puan Menteri, silakan.
Terima kasih Yang Berhormat Pontian. Kita Kementerian Kewangan semestinya kementerian yang sentiasa merujuk kepada laporan-laporan yang dibuat oleh agensi-agensi yang boleh ditentusahkan kewibawaan mereka. Kita merujuk kepada laporan jawatankuasa kira-kira wang negara pada 15 Julai tahun 2019, tiada wang GST dirompak. Yang kedua, wang tersebut digunakan untuk perbelanjaan pembangunan negara. Hasil sure daripada laporan PAC, Kementerian Kewangan dan JKDM sedang menambah baik proses kutipan dan pembayaran balik GST seperti mana yang dikendaki dalam laporan PAC bertarikh 15 Julai 2020. Saya yakin kalau kita dapat menyelesaikan bayaran balik GST, sudah pasti revenue negara akan dapat dipertingkatkan. Terima kasih, Yang Berhormat.
That was Deputy Finance Minister Mohammad Shahar Abdullah talking about GST refunds.
Last but certainly not least, Bandar Kuching MP Kelvin Yee urged the government to clarify the SOPs for the mandatory use of masks that came into effect on August 1st. Specifically, he asked them to define public spaces.
Keempat, ini rintihan dari rakyat, kawasan saya dan juga mungkin seluruh negara tentang kekeliruan yang ditimbulkan oleh polisi topeng muka mandatory yang baru diperkenalkan. Saya memang menyokong polisi ini. Tapi sampai sekarang komunikasi tentang definisi tempat sesak masih belum dihalusi, malah setahu saya belum digazetkan atau disenaraikan di mana-mana halaman rasmi kerajaan. Kalau kita meneliti pengumuman menteri, cuma beberapa tempat disenaraikan seperti shopping mall, pasar, pengangkutan awam dan juga tempat sesak. Definisi tempat sesak ini menimbulkan banyak kekeliruan. Kalau kita lihat model di Australia, mereka sebenarnya telah menyenaraikan semua tempat yang perlu pakai mask, malah juga pengecualian yang ada.
That was Bandar Kuching MP Kelvin Yee talking about and asking for clearer definitions of where you should wear your masks. So it's worth noting that so far the public spaces defined by the National Security Council is as follows. Busy public places such as public transport, markets, cinemas and tourist attractions. So if you are headed to those places, make sure to wear a mask.
And on that note, let us know what your experience has been like since mask wearing was made mandatory. Have you seen people observing it, or are people still being complacent? Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. And of course, you can always weigh in on the other points raised in Parliament today. After this, we'll be crossing over to Danya Nair from BFM's news desk, who will share her insights straight from the Dewan Rakyat. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:20 with Ezreal and Kelvin, and it's Popet Popet Parliament. We're continuing our highlights from the Dewan Rakyat. Well, we're now heading to Danya Nair from BFM's news desk to share with us some insights straight from Parliament.
Hi, guys. Good to speak to you again.
So, Danya, we understand that Batukawan MP Kasturi Pato and Sikijang MP Natra Ismail held a press conference to follow up on the issue of sex offenders, specifically the government's allocation of funds to address it. What went on there?
Well, basically, like you said, the Deputy Minister for the Communications and Multimedia Ministry had earlier said in Parliament that there wasn't enough funds for, technology to screen passengers carrying pornographic materials on their, laptops or phones or devices. So she had come out in the press conference to say that she was very dissatisfied, with that answer, and she wanted the matter to be brought to Cabinet and also, perhaps even brought up in discussions for the budget to have some allocation for it. And when she was talking about it, she referred to convicted pedophile Richard Huckle, who had been in Malaysia for a few years, 2006, 2014, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And he was charged with committing offences against Malaysian children. And he had been caught because of interference from, not interference, but help from the Australian government and not by us. They had the technology to find it. So she didn't want a repeat of that, basically. So here's Batukawan MP Kasturi Pato from the press conference.
Pada masa itu, saya bertanyakan soalan ini kepada mantan timbalan Menteri KDN, YB Pulai, YB Nur Jazlan, mengapa Malaysia tidak melabur dalam teknologi yang digunakan oleh negara Australia. Beliau menyatakan benda yang sama apa yang saya dengar dalam Dewan Rakyat hari ini, tak ada peruntukan, maka mereka tidak boleh mengikut apa yang kerajaan Australia ataupun Task Force Argos di Australia telah buat. Saya rasa ini merupakan satu alasan yang digunakan oleh kerajaan Malaysia. Ini merupakan perkara yang penting. Adakah perlu seorang backbencher daripada pembangkang untuk menimbulkan isu ini? Tak ada siapa ke dalam SKMM yang menyatakan, jangan kita ada Richard Huckle Part 2 di negara kita lagi. Sebab sehingga hari ini, selepas 6 tahun Richard Huckle diberkas, masih tidak ada lagi pelaburan dalam teknologi yang digunakan oleh negara Australia. Saya rasa ini merupakan satu a weakness, a drawback dari pihak kerajaan yang tiada iltizam politik.
You just heard Batukawan MP Kasturi Patu giving her a press conference on the issue of sex offenders.
Now, separately, Klang MP Charles Santiago suggested a way the government can create job opportunities. Danny, can you tell us just a bit more about this?
Yeah, so first, you know, he sort of pointed out the fact that buying face masks is very expensive, and especially for the B40 and M40 community, you know, it takes up about anywhere between 18 to 20%, you know, of their monthly income. So you were saying, you know, what we should be investing in is reusable face masks. You know, the government should channel funds through a small business entrepreneurship program, you know, work with NGOs and community-based organizations, you know, even and organizations like TVET and Mara, so we can sort of start a cottage in industry where you could make this mask. And his idea was that we should tie it in to, you know, to Batik, you know, promote Batik while, you know, helping protect people. So here's Klang MP Charles Santiago talking about his idea for reusable Batik masks.
Hari ini saya dah fokus kepada state-driven production for Batik reusable face masks. The last few days, I've been in the kawasan, and when I asked people how come they're not using the face masks, they were saying it is getting very expensive. Dan saya pun cakap dengan orang lain, untuk satu keluarga, kita dapati bahawa kalau mereka menggunakan 6 pelitup muka, maka mereka akan belanja lebih kurang RM216 satu bulan. This is very high for the average Malaysian B40 family, dan juga lower M40 family. Now, saya actually last night, I went all over KL to buy a Malaysian-made reusable face mask. And there are some very nice batik reusable face masks. But the point I'm trying to make is that the government can use this opportunity, boleh menggunakan masalah yang sedia ada di mana kita tidak ada kerja dan entrepreneurship, untuk help focus and help build a cottage industry to produce reusable face mask. So the government must take the effort to produce to help push for a cottage industry which is linked to NGOs, small business entrepreneurship organizations that they are, NGOs, as well as home producers of face masks and so on and so forth.
That was Klang MP Charles Santiago. Dania, thanks so much for your time.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
So if you'd like to share your thoughts on what went on in Parliament today, whether it's mask SOPs or batik masks or any of the other points raised, call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, I believe we've already received some messages.
Yeah, it was to an earlier question about, you know, whether or not people have been noticing, what people have been noticing about mask wearing behavior outside, whether it's done right, whether it's not done at all. So we have this WhatsApp message here from Sylvester that says, I was in Mid Valley today. Most people wore masks, but there's literally zero social distancing. Also, I don't know, but there should be stricter enforcement. I did see someone not wearing masks at all, but do I go up to tell them off? It is a private property and it's supposed to be the management of the mall or the building to enforce the rules. I'm not sure. They just don't care or they just don't think it's important. It's disheartening to have our DG to repeat all the SOPs every single day and seeing people totally ignoring them.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about consistency, because I've faced the same experience between, you know, different restaurants and malls, and some people are more insistent on you know, everyone observing them, and some business owners don't really seem to care. So I don't know what other solutions, you know, can be implemented to sort of get the message across, because it's been a long time since the MCO first started.
Yeah, well, to be fair though, I think the messaging itself wasn't super consistent from the start, in that at first it started out that the ministry said, well, you don't have to wear masks, but we strongly encourage you to in public spaces and maybe in places where you cannot physically distance. Now that it's been made mandatory, there are still gaps with those sorts of announcements, right? We didn't even really get the clear guidelines as to where you must wear masks. Of course, intuitively, if you want to be socially responsible, you wear masks whenever you're in a place that is crowded, whenever you're just outside, basically, and there's no chance for you to physically distance. But again, if it's coming to force, what's really quite important to do is that you must have these SOPs, these guidelines stated out very clearly. Otherwise, people won't know when they're breaking the rules. Those doing the enforcing, like there apparently have been reports that people driving in private vehicles, not wearing masks, getting summons. That's also an issue because previously the DG had said, look, if you're driving on your own, you don't have to wear masks. So it's quite confusing. You just have to make it clear.
And on that note, you can keep sending your thoughts in. In the meantime, we're now headed to the 6:30 news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.